So you all should see a message that indicates that. Do you see that? Did it come through? Good. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I show 2 o'clock, so whenever you're ready to commence, feel free.
All righty. Your clock and mine are on the same sync here, so I'll start. I'd like to call the Building Board of Appeals hearing for June 24, 2021 at 2 o'clock p.m. to order. I'd like to start off by asking Board Member Jack to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Okay, and everybody in attendance, would you please repeat after me? I pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag.
Of the United States of America.
Of America.
Of the United States of America.
And to the Republic.
And to the Republic.
And to the Republic.
Of which it stands.
Of which it stands.
Which it stands.
One nation under God.
One nation under God.
Indivisible.
Indivisible.
With liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all.
And justice for all.
Thank you, Jack.
You're welcome.
So now I'd like to get a roll call of the members. Could I get that, Arlene?
Yes. Heinrich?
Here.
Pawlitzki?
Here.
Cesar? You're on mute.
Yes.
Gulliver?
Here.
Farlin?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. So I'd like to call for a motion from the board members to approve the June 2nd, 2021 minutes. Do I have a motion to do so?
I motion.
Thank you, Jack. Do I have a second?
Second.
So I'd like the recording secretary to call for the vote.
Yes. Heinrich?
Yes.
Kowitzki?
Yes.
Cesar?
Yes.
Gulliver?
Yes.
McFarlane?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. So I'm going to go through and read some things here that give us an outline of our meeting here today. So bear with me. I've got a page of things to go through. And if you hear noise in the background, if for some reason the people next door to me decided today was the day to start building things. If it gets loud, just tell me, hey, could you repeat that, please? So I'm going to open the hearings of two appeals of the City Building Code compliance determinations. The two determinations are both appealed by the same appellant. So I'm going to consolidate the hearings to consider both matters. So we will hear the two appeals separately in this one hearing. This hearing is being recorded by the staff. You can see that on the top of the screen. The hearing will be conducted in accordance with the procedures adopted by this board on June 2nd, 2021, consistent with all legal requirements. Those procedures guarantee the appellate due process such that we can decide the appeals fairly. The formal rules of evidence do not apply. Both the city staff and the appellate will have an opportunity to make a brief presentation, no more than 15 minutes, please. The board may ask questions of those presenting to the board, and the party shall also be afforded the right to ask questions of anyone making a presentation. Through the board chair, please. At the conclusion of the presentations, there will be an opportunity for public comment. After the public comment, the board will deliberate and, if appropriate, will take action. I'll have a bit more to say about that when we get to that portion of the hearing. Are there any general questions from the board about the procedures for today?
None.
No.
Okay, hearing none, let's get started. The first item to be heard is an appeal case number 30-2021-0118-3961. This concerns a notice of violation dated March 15th, 2021, provided to the appellants. And I'm going to ask somebody to do a better job with names than I do to read that into the record, please. Maybe David or Arlene.
I could go for it. So I believe that the appellant is Sharam Manigalam, and I'm not sure who the other party is. Mr. Manigalam, would you pronounce your other counterpart's name for the record?
Shireen Mani, you mean my mom and sister?
I believe
Shireen Manigalam and Hajar Azadmar.
There we go. Okay, thank you so much.
Azadmar.
I didn't want to mess it up, so
okay.
My apologies. And concerns a gas and electrical line serving a barbecue cooking device. In the record are the following documents. On March 15th, 2021, the city served a violation notice on the appellant. On March 24th, 2021, the appellant submitted a response to the notice of violation. On March 30th, 2021, the appellant notified the city of his intention to appeal the notice of violation. On June 3rd, 2021, the appellant was notified that a hearing would be scheduled to hear an appeal on June 14th, 2021. At the appellant's request, the hearing was rescheduled for today. Also on June 3rd, 2021, the appellant was provided a copy of the procedures applicable to this hearing, as well as a copy of the city's written documentation submitted to the board. On June 21, 2021, this gets harder to say as you go along, the appellant, through the council, submitted a letter to the board. That letter was approved or provided to the board and to the city staff. Neither the city nor the appellant have notified the board that they intend to call any witnesses. Accordingly, no witness testimony will be heard today. I would now like the city staff and the appellant or the appellant's representatives to identify themselves for the record, please.
Yes, Emmett Raitt, attorney representing the appellants.
Jim Sowers, building official, City of Yorba Linda.
Noam Duesman, City Attorney's Office.
And Mr. Manigalam?
Yes, Sharam Manigalam, appellant.
So do we need any of the rest here to introduce themselves as well?
I believe that's it, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So now I would like to invite the city to provide a presentation to the board. Please keep in mind there is a 15-minute time limit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon. The first item on the agenda is a notice of violation regarding exterior lighting attached to a residence located at 21129 Via Cannon. On March 29th, 2021, the building division received an email regarding two unpermitted light fixtures that were installed on the reference address. Subsequent research of permit history was completed and no permits were found for the newly attached exterior light.
Excuse me, Chair Heinrich, could I interrupt for just for 1 second? This is now a presentation on the second of the issues that you just called the hearing for. So it's okay with me if you do them in different orders, but the recitation of the record you just described is for a different matter than what's now being discussed.
Sorry, the one that I had for the agenda showed that being the first, but I can easily switch to the other one if you'd like.
Sir. Yeah, let's try and keep the order.
Okay, yeah, no problem.
Okay,
I'm sorry for the confusion.
Thank you. Good catch, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda, is an agenda for an appeal for a notice by a violation pertaining to gas and electric lines serving a brick and mortar barbecue structure located at 21129 Via Cannon. On October 21st, 2020, city staff received an email regarding gas and electric lines serving a detached brick and mortar barbecue structure. The complainant also stated there was a strong smell of gas coming from the rear yard 21129 Via Cannon. A research of permit history was completed and no permits were found for the gas and electric lines serving a detached barbecue structure. In an attempt to verify the validity of the report, city staff made multiple requests to the homeowner to conduct an on-site inspection, all of which were denied. Staff then contacted the Southern California Gas Company to verify if there is any gas company activity at 21129 Via Cannon. The gas company representative advised staff that a disconnection of service had been completed on 3/11/2017 for service to a barbecue, and no service had been reestablished since. The representative also stated that there was a recent service request for 21129 Via Cannon. The request was made on 10/5/2020 and was for the reconnection of service to a barbecue. The request was denied by the service technician as they could not find proper point of connection to the home and the work appeared to be unpermitted. Due to the owner's refusal to allow a voluntary inspection, staff applied for an inspection warrant, which was signed by the judge on March 2nd, 2021 and executed on March 3rd, 2021. The site inspection revealed that both unpermitted gas and electric lines did indeed serve a detached brick and mortar barbecue structure. Based on the inspection results, city issued the owner a notice of violation dated March 15, 2021. The owner appealed the notice of violation. Based on the site inspection and staff report provided, staff is requiring that the owner secure a permit for the gas and electric lines, the inspection process be completed to an approved final inspection, or that the owner secure a permit for the abandonment of the gas and electric lines, and the abandonment inspection process be completed up to a final inspection. Staff's findings are based on the following: 2019 California Building Code and the 2019 California Residential Code, Section 105.1 and Section 105.2, Electrical and Plumbing. 2019 California Plumbing Code, Section 104.2, Exempt Work. Chapter 12, Fuel Gas Piping. 1997 Uniform Housing Code, Section 1001.6, Hazardous Plumbing. 2019 California Electrical Code, Article 89. General Code Provisions, Section 89.108.4.1 permits, and Section 89.108.4.4 inspections. The 1997 Uniform Housing Code, Section 1001.5, Hazardous Electrical Wiring, Yorba Linda Ordinance Number 2019-1065, Article 95, 0.7 permit, Article 95.10 compliance, Article 95.11 inspections. photos A through F and an overall photo in the staff report are provided for reference of the gas and electric lines. I'm available for any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sowers. Do any of the board members have questions for the city staff?
I have one. I was curious as to why the original disconnect of the gas, why was that disconnected? Does anyone know?
They did not give me any information at the gas company. They just noted to me that there was a disconnection dated on the date that I gave you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from a board member? All right, thank you.
Before we head off, this is Noam Duesman from City Attorney's Office. I'm fairly certain that we have probably approximately 10 minutes left on our presentation. We'd like to reserve that time to respond to any questions after the appellant's presentation and or address some of the points that they may raise.
I believe you're right on your timing. So thank you. Does the appellate have any questions for the city staff? And please note there's a 5-minute limit on questions, and questions must be related to the compliance issue related code sections. And if you deviate from that, I may ask you to stop, please. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmett Raitt for the appellants. Mr. Sowers, when you got there, did you smell gas?
When we got where to do the site inspection?
Yes.
No, sir. At that point in time, there appeared to be a flex line that was disconnected prior to our arrival.
But the flex line had been disconnected in 2017, correct?
I do not know.
Isn't that what you were told by the gas company?
Sir, again, the complaint was for a strong smell of gas. Flex lines can easily be reconnected and connected. So I have no idea if it was reconnected or not reconnected. At the time we were there, no, there's not a smell of gas.
Okay. Did you see any evidence that the flex line had been connected or reconnected?
What I noticed was shiny connections that had been, looked like brand new connections had been reapplied. And you could also see it in some of the photos, if you look at the photos. So
would that be a no? Would that be a no?
Can you repeat your question? Because it doesn't make any sense what you're asking.
Sure. Did you see any evidence that the...
Objection misstates the witness's testimony. He asked you if he saw any evidence, and he just testified that he did see evidence, which was untarnished caps on the lines that would indicate that the disconnection occurred recently.
Okay, and did the fact that there were untarnished caps on the lines indicate that the lines had been used recently?
It appears that they were possibly used recently, however, they're recapped.
Okay. And you do not know when those caps were installed?
No, correct? I was not present during the cap installation or uninstallation.
All right. And do you have any evidence that the caps were not installed when the lines were cut off in 2017?
The lines were never cut off. What do you mean by cut off?
I mean, the gas lines were, you were advised by the gas company that the gas lines were disconnected.
That is correct.
Okay. And were you advised by the gas company as to whether the gas lines were capped by the gas company?
They did not do any of the capping because that is not their job.
And they told you that?
Yes. So whoever capped them off and whoever disconnected it, they disconnected service to the gas line by disconnecting the service. Wherever they disconnected, that's what they told me, that they disconnected service. How they did it, I do not know. I wasn't there.
All right. And is it your understanding that once the service to the gas line was disconnected, that gas could continue to flow through the gas line?
That is not my, repeat the question.
Sure. The gas company advised you that the gas line had been disconnected.
Correct.
Correct. All right. And is it your understanding that even though the gas line has been disconnected, that gas can continues to flow through the gas line?
If it was reconnected without anybody knowing, sure, it could still be, absolutely could definitely go back through the gas line.
All right. I don't have anything further for Mr. Sowers.
Okay. So did the city attorney want to respond to any of that with the time?
I just have one question for Mr. Sowers. Is the violation that's at issue that was cited in the notice of violation 105.1 for a permit requirement, does that have to do with the existence of the gas line, or is it the fact that there's actually gas running through it? In other words, isn't the existence of the gas line in and of itself a violation, in as much as it was constructed or installed without a permit?
That is absolutely correct.
That would be the same for the electrical lines. Whether or not electricity is actually flowing through those lines, there would be a requirement to get permits under 105.1 for those wirings.
That is correct, sir.
May I ask a follow-up question, please, if Mr. Guzman is done?
You did have a minute left, so I suppose we can allow. Okay.
Yeah, I have no objection.
All right. 105.1 prohibits, let me ask you this. Did you see any evidence or advised by anyone that the appellants intended to construct, enlarge, alter, repair, move, demolish, or change the gas lines or electrical lines to the unit, to the barbecue unit?
First of all, you quoted 105.1, and as far as the owner, they didn't have anything to do with respect to what you said as far as alter, repair, or move. However, if you look at 105.1 under electrical, it talks about the only thing you get to do with electrical as well as gas piping under the plumbing section of it. It doesn't apply to somebody actually putting in a gas line. And I don't know if they put in the gas line to the barbecue structure, if it's done prior to them purchasing the home. The bottom line is that they are there and they need a permit and they need to be inspected for safety reasons, both the gas and electric lines. It doesn't matter who put it in. The bottom line is okay. That they're there.
And to that point, let
105 point.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. Please continue.
I'm sorry. But 105.1 specifically refers to the construction, enlargement, alteration, repair, movement, demolition, or change in the electrical or gas structures.
That is correct. However, it doesn't indicate.
And 105.2 refers to exceptions. But the violation is directed towards the appellant.
The violation.
Not to somebody who did it previously.
No.
Yeah. And Jim, you can respond to that. You need to respond to that question, and then I will add what I need to add.
You're correct. The violation, it goes toward the gas line and the electric line in this case. And the appellant owns the property and purchased the property. I don't know if it was passed. I'm assuming it was done in the past and it was inherited upon the sale. The bottom line is followed up on a complaint, which is the life safety issue that we followed up on, found the following items to be unpermitted. At that point in time, we addressed the unpermitted items and tried to bring them into compliance. That's what this whole thing is towards and nothing else. Yes, the appellant does own the home.
And to that point, and I know what counsel is getting at for the appellant, I'd refer the board to Civil Code Section 3483. Again, that's 3483. And that code section states that a successive owner of a property is responsible for the conditions, ongoing violations at the property created, and I'll quote, created by a former owner. and is liable, therefore, in the case in the same manner as the one who first created it. And the reason that that civil code section exists is obvious. You know, as a public policy, we have to hold someone accountable for a property. That is the owner. The owner takes on whatever, you know, the property as is. The owner's recourse is against the former owner if the, you know, required real estate disclosures, which would have to disclose unpermitted improvements, are not made or not made to the extent that they should be. The recourse of the owner is against not the city, but against the former owner who may have not made those disclosures. But according to the civil code, and there's also case law to the extent that the board is interested, supports this longstanding notion that a property owner is responsible for whatever unpermitted conditions exist at the property. We would not go back and find a previous owner. For example, what if the previous owner was, deceased? Then the city could never get compliance. The existing owner is the one responsible under the civil code and case law.
Okay. Can we move now to the appellant's presentation? Okay.
First, did the board receive our written response to the accusations?
Yes.
Our written repeal that was filed?
Yes.
Was submitted to Mr. Brantley and Mr. Sowers on June 21, 2021.
Yes.
So everyone has seen that?
Yes.
We have all seen. Okay.
All right.
So now I'd like to invite the appellant to provide a presentation to the board. Again, there's a 15-minute time limit. Thank you.
I believe that our position is set forth in the documentation we previously submitted. The building permits were issued for this property back in 1978. We believe, or we have seen nothing to establish that those building permits did not encompass either the electrical line or the gas line that is the subject of this appeal, or that my client or anybody else previously altered or changed those lines without obtaining a necessary building permit. There clearly was no building permit obtained since 1978. We've researched that. But what the building permit in 1978 permitted or did not permit is not in evidence before the board. The board cannot assume that just because the condition is there, that it was not constructed pursuant to the original building permit issued to Broadmoor Homes in 1978. We do not know that. The board does not know that, and staff does not know that. Citing my clients for their inherited violation of what may have been a violation or a failure to get a permit is simply not supported by the evidence. That, and I would rely on the remaining arguments made in the position paper filed on the 21st.
All right. Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Does any board member have any questions for the appellate?
Before that, can the city briefly respond in the same way that appellant was provided an opportunity?
Sure.
I'd also like the board to be aware of the rule of convenience. And there's a case, People versus Yoshimura, 91 Calap 3D 609, for the board's reference. And that case, along with a line of other cases cited therein, stands for the proposition that under the circumstances where there's a question of whether or not a permit exists, it is not the moving party here, the city, obligation to prove the negative. We cannot prove the negative, as was indicated in the staff report, and it was indicated in the presentation. There is no permit on file for either this gas line or for the electrical line. The city cannot prove the negative. If the property owner wishes to argue that somehow these improvements were included in the original building plan, which the city found not to be true, it would be the property owner's burden to bring forth a plan or a permit that demonstrates that either of these improvements or both of these improvements were at some point permitted. The property owner has had that opportunity and has failed to demonstrate that. Again, it is not the city cannot prove the negative. The city has demonstrated or has testified to the fact that there is no permit. The city is not in possession of any permit. We've provided the property owner months of opportunity to produce such a permit, to demonstrate that we are wrong and somehow there is a permit and they're not in violation of the permit requirement. They have not met that burden, and therefore, they have not demonstrated that these are permitted improvements. To say, you know, that there could have been a permit at some point, it could have been done part of the original construction, that's not enough. They actually have to demonstrate that that was in fact the case, and the evidence is to the contrary here.
Well, if the board would like to see, I was retained, as I've indicated, to the board about 5 days ago. We have the building permit that was issued by the city May 16, 1978. It's an application for plumbing permit.
That is correct.
It indicates that there are one gas system up to five outlets that was approved by the city. It does not provide any details of that, but that does not mean there's a sign off. And it's very difficult to read. It looks like November of 1978. We do not have access to the plans. If anyone does, it would be the city. But there definitely was a permit issued back in 1978 that would, at least on its face, cover the installation of the gas lines. And if I can share my screen, I can show those to the board if the board wishes, assuming I can figure out how to do that.
Well, let me go to the board to find out what questions they may have. And if they have a question that relates to you showing it, we can work with the technology to see how we get that to happen. So board members, any of you have any questions for the appellate?
I have one.
Me too.
Now, Green, why don't you go first?
My question is, maybe city can answer that. Do we have the plans, original plans, 1978, or any other plans from that?
The information I have from my client is that the city doesn't have any plans for anything that was constructed prior to 1997. So it is not, and which is certainly not the problem of the appellant. But I'm sure the city attorney or Mr. Brantley or Mr. Sowers can confirm whether that statement is true. But without those plans and without access to the plans, we are no more able to prove a negative than the city is.
You said you have five outlets. Do we have how many outlets right now do we have other than this?
I do not know how many outlets there are. The gas system, the original permit in 1978 says gas system up to five outlets and a charge of what appears to be $50. $5.
It's $5 and overall $36.50.
Yes.
And what I have, can I speak now, Mr. Chairman, if that's okay, if I can add two things?
So you're answering board member Nazreen's question?
Yes.
Okay.
The city has kind of did the gas outlet, and we looked at it from the perspective of one would be for a water heater, one possibly for a forced air unit, one for a cooktop, one for an oven, and one for possibly a gas dryer, leading to the five.
Thank you. Any other questions?
May I just clarify whether that's a statement of fact or in a statement of opinion?
It's a statement of opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I've got a quick question.
Hold on, Jonathan. Jack was next. Go ahead, Jack.
Thank you. Mr. Raitt, this is a letter I'm holding dated June 21st from you to Mr. Brantley and Mr. Sowers. And we have number one, a preliminary statement. And then number two, the mere existence of the barbecue does not violate 2019 Residential Code Sections 105.1, 105.2. Prior to that, do you have the same letter in front of you, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay. The last paragraph, the staff report indicates the dispute began when Mr. Sowers, following an email from Deborah Kohler of the Golden West Property Management representing the association, contacted Mr. Kohler, who advised him there was a strong smell of gas coming from the rear yard of the property. That report as clearly patently false since, as indicated by the staff report, the gas line to the barbecue had been disconnected on March 11, 2017 by the serving utility. The October 5, 2020 reconnection request by the appellants was denied. And staff's inspection of the barbecue does not indicate that the gas line had ever been reconnected. Appellant or anyone on their behalf, as the testimony of the appellant will establish, appellants have never used the gas, have never used the barbecue as a gas barbecue, nor installed the gas line. What have they been using it for?
My understanding is that it's simply been used as a charcoal barbecue.
So they are using it. They're using it as an outdoor fire feature cooking appliance.
Yes, but okay. In the association's action against my clients, when they sought a preliminary injunction, they had a declaration from Ms. Kohler and from the next door neighbor, Ms. Chavez, who also by coincidence happens to be a vice president of the association, in which they both said that there was a strong smell of charcoal fluid, not gas. They had no place in any declaration did they indicate that they ever smelled gas. The only reason I would submit that Ms. Kohler and Ms. Kohler indicated to city is that there was a strong smell of gas is so that they could obtain the assistance of the city in manufacturing their claim against my client, because there simply could not be a gas smell coming from the patio if there is no gas connection outside of the patio that has been turned on by the gas company.
Okay, there's a second part to this question, and thank you for hanging in there with me. March 11, 2017, the disconnection by SoCal Gas Company, correct?
Yes.
In October 5th, 2020, prior to that, they requested that the gas be turned on and they were denied. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
That is my understanding. And the October 5th date was not prior to, it was after the disconnection. The disconnection was in September of 2017.
The disconnect states here was March 11, 2017. So that's correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying that the request for reconnect was after that?
Oh, yes. My client didn't even own the property until August of 2020.
Okay. Did they give you a reason why the gas was disconnected? The appellant, did he give you a reason why the gas was disconnected?
My understanding is that the appellant does not know.
Okay.
He was not there. It was disconnected, as any normal homeowner would do, who was not put on notice by the prior owner that there was any problem with the barbecue or anything else. And we do have the seller questionnaire to establish that. Once they purchased the property, they wanted to use the gas barbecue as a gas barbecue, and they asked that it be reconnected.
3 years after the fact.
Turned down. That's just normal homeowner conduct.
Thank you.
They certainly weren't trying to violate or breach any obligation owed to the city, because until at that point in time, they had no knowledge that there was a problem with the gas barbecue.
Thank you for responding.
So does that address your two questions, Jack?
It does. Thank you.
Okay, Jonathan.
Yeah. If it's been determined that this gas line's been disconnected, what type of permit is the city requesting that the appellant obtain?
I can answer that if you'd like.
Go ahead.
Sure.
At this point, the gas line has been disconnected. There's, if you look at the, do you have the staff report in front of you by any chance? The board, Chairman Gulliver, do you have the staff report?
I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Okay. If you look at page 7 and you look at page 8, you'll see two stub out. That's how the gas is reconnected, is with a flex line. To reconnect it would be very simple, with the shutoff on one end and reconnection with a flex line. And if you flip to this page number 9, you'll see from page 8 where it goes through the wall and comes out and goes under a slab and then services the barbecue. At this point in time, we'd love the appellant to obtain a permit to either get it squared away, get it connected, get it inspected, make sure the gas test is done properly, make sure there are no gas leaks. If that's not what they wish to do, then proper abandonment is what we'd be seeking at this point.
And that abandonment would require what?
Personally, I'm willing to work with the appellant. So to sever the gas line at the slab rather than having to completely tear apart the slab, sever the gas line at the slab, back in, on the back side of the garage that's feeding the barbecue at this point, and sever the gas connection at the barbecue, and then have that inspected, we would consider that to be demolished at this point. With respect to the electrical line, if they'd like to keep it, that's fine. Let's get it watertight, get it GFI protected, get a permit for it, make sure that the wiring is correct, make sure it's connected to a circuit breaker that's correct, and let's get it squared away. That's all we want them to do.
Any other questions, board members?
So the appellant, he could remove the conductor, he could remove the gas line back to the point of connection, and that would be.
And at the same time, the connection to the barbecue, sever that, and it's done.
Thank you.
The total permit cost for that would be $301.50. Probably be two inspections.
So, board member Jack, did you have a follow-up question?
I didn't catch that. The outlet serving the barbecue is not ground fault protected?
That is correct, sir.
Thank you.
And you can see that if you go to page on the staff report, if you go to page 12, photo F, you'll see it is no GFI. There's no waterproof connection. I wanted to test it at the time, but it was raining, and I did not feel safe checking the wiring at that point due to water and non-GFI protected.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for the appellate from the board?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Marlon, what kind of materials were used to run the gas line, and where did the gas line run through the slab? Did it run through the house slab, or what part of the slab did it run through?
It looks like, I can't tell because it's painted, Mr. McFarland, but it appears to be either galvanized black pipe, I have no idea. And what happened was they have a very nice patio in the backyard. And to help the appellant, we don't want him to tear it up because at one point it was a slab and somebody pebble teched it. And it's nice. We'd like to just see it severed at that point and severed back at the barbecue to preserve the patio's integrity, and then go back inside the garage and remove the gas lines at that point, plug up the wall. So that's the problem that I have no idea what they use for gas piping. So if he wants to keep it, that's fine. But at that point, it'll all need to be exposed so that way we can check out the validity of the material used. And at that point, a gas test would be required. And we'd do the inspections based on Chapter 12 at that point.
And again, my clients bought the property in August of 2020. They have absolutely no idea how this was constructed.
Understood. So, Mr. McFarland, Board Member McFarland, did that answer your question? Do you have a follow-up?
I do have a statement to make. If it was black iron, that's not permitted in the ground. You're not allowed to use that other than above ground on the inside.
That's correct.
And the thing is, if the patio has a roof covering, you're not allowed to run the gas piping through the slab.
There is no roof covering. It's just a slab.
Okay.
You can tell all the board members are technocrats, can't you?
Yes. May I ask Mr. Sowers a question? Mr. Sowers, did you ever determine whether the electrical outlet that is shown as photo F on page 12 of the report is connected to anything?
Like I said in my earlier statement, it was raining that day, and I did not feel comfortable going and checking that, number one. Number two, our inspection warrant was limited to specifically the barbecue, and I did not have the authorization to go back into the garage and ask the appellant to remove anything or to uncover anything. We stuck to exactly what the inspection warrant limited us to, period.
So if the plug is not connected to electrical wiring, does it still create a problem?
It would need to be abandoned because at that point in time, it could easily be reconnected. If it's running conduit, there'd be no issue. It'd be very simple to reconnect. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you have two options. Either you disconnect it, remove it, put a brick in its place, take out all the wiring as well as the conduit and whatever's back at the service panel, or legalize it and go through the process.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, moving on. So thank you. Does anyone from the city have questions for the appellate? And again, please note there's a 5-minute limit on questions, and the questions must be related to compliance issue and related to code sections. And I may stop you if those guidelines are not followed.
The only question I would have for the appellant is, do they have any permit in their possession or any evidence that either the electrical line or the gas line was actually permitted?
Well, here's the difficulty that we have.
It's a question to the appellant himself, not to counsel.
Yes, we have the original permits for the for the gas lines and the electrical wiring for the house. And there is no evidence that these permits don't cover the electrical lines and the gas lines going to the barbecue. These are probably built by the initial manufacturer. And the permits are right here. Unless you can prove that it was built after and somebody didn't get a permit, and there is no such a proof.
can we ask the appellant any questions?
I guess the board members can always ask.
Shereen, do you know how that outlet to the barbecue is connected? Is that on a home run back to the panel? Is it spliced off another outlet? Can you explain that to me, please?
Yes, there's just one outlet on the barbecue structure. It has no electricity to it and nothing. It might have been built like 40 years ago, and it was the wiring was taken out, or it's just they left the outlet there. There's no electricity to it. There's nothing. There's nothing.
So there's no reason for you not to abandon the line.
I can. I mean, if it bothers the city, I can take out the outlet and just put a cover on it.
Okay. How about the gas line? Is that on a home run back to the meter, or how is that barbecue fed? Do you know? Do you know the type of material?
It's just the barbecue. There is no visible gas line that goes to it. There's nothing. I mean, everything is underground, and I don't know. It's just a barbecue brick structure. Anything underground that's connected to it, I don't know. And even if it was, it's disconnected. All the ports are open. I mean, there's one gas port on it. It's fully open. There's nothing. It's just pipes underground, probably that were used long time ago. And there's nothing. I mean, it's
so you're really not too sure what's below grade is what you're telling me.
I don't know what's underground connected.
Okay,
to it.
Thank you. Thank
but,
you.
But there's no connection.
I appreciate you answering the question. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, let's go back to does anyone from the city have any questions for the appellant?
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question of Mr. Sowers?
Sure.
Mr. Sowers, the appellant has stated that, in their view, the gas and electrical lines were part of the original construction of the house and were part of the original building permit. Can you comment on, in your experience, what, I guess, the likelihood, or how common is it that a building permit for a house would include reference to an accessory structure like a barbecue on a condominium patio? That's question number one. And number two, when you inspected the nature of the construction, the gas line in particular, because as you said, you couldn't really inspect the electrical line other than just observe the un-GFI protected outlet itself without a cover. But when you observed the gas line, can you comment on the nature of that that connection, or that construction rather, and the connections, and comment on whether or not, in your view, it is reflective of what would be required to meet code either today or presumably back in 1978, if in fact it were part of the original construction?
Well, the answer to the first question, typically, I started in this business back in the early 80s and into the, obviously to now, and dealing with multiple tracks and condominium projects, if anybody ever did anything with an accessory structure on a tract home or a condominium, I've never seen it happen. It's normally something that's done afterwards, or possibly at the rarest point, it might be a model. And this was never a model. This was done as a plan 2BR. It was on lot 3, unit 5, and it was built to plan 2BR, which would be the inside contents as well as the outside facade and things of that nature. As Mr. Medigalam and as well as the his attorney indicated, they had a gas outlet, and I totally agree with that. It was done on 516 and 78, but I listed the 5 items that would typically be included in something like that. And I've never seen anything like that be done at the time of construction, Mr. Brantley. It's just not the norm. With respect to the construction of it, I from what I've read from the code in 1978, does not appear that they adhered to the code with respect to they required a gas valve outlet that's visibly seen as a shutoff connection, which they have there, but they also required another one back at the on the back side of the pipe, which I did not see. At the same time, I have no idea what was used with respect to materials. So the material is painted, and it goes back to board member Kowinski's question as well as Mr. McFarland. What material was used? I have no idea. I don't know if it's black pipe. I don't know if it's galvanized pipe. If it's black pipe, it's never been allowed to go underground. So from that perspective, I have no idea.
And the points of connection behind the dryer in the garage with flex line connectors on them, is that typical construction?
No.
Code compliant construction?
No, typical construction, something like that, would go back into hard pipe, and at the same time, there'd be a shutoff valve at that point to set, to shut it off in case of servicing, or if there's ever an event of an emergency, you shut it off at the cooktop itself. The flex connectors are normally an appliance connector in the event of an earthquake or something like that. They can move and have some movement. It would be hard plumb back. So that in itself led me to believe that it possibly did not have a permit at that time. As well, and during the inspection, the flex line was a connection at the appliance, which was the cooktop, which would have been the correct place for a flex line.
You're talking about the
cooktop
that was the barbecue structure?
Yeah, it was recently removed from a flex line. It was still untarnished, and you could see the brass, and you can see that if you look at photo number, it's photo E on page 11, and that's where the flex connector would go, because that's where the cooktop sat on top of the barbecue structure at that point. And that's exactly where the flex line would go, not back at the main connection.
May I ask a question, Mr. Sowers?
Yes.
Hold on a second. I'd like to have a follow-up to that one, please. So, and I don't know who best to address this to other than I'll make it open to either the city or the appellate. So if this might have been a home builder accessory, did we see this in any of the other units? Did anybody else have this option?
I have not seen it. We've done a few inspections out there. There was another barbecue that was done without a permit and since has been cited and is going through the inspection process for permitting. And it was never done at the time of building. And that's the only one that I know of. The homeowners association might be able to comment on that. I don't know. David, do you know anything about that?
No, I'm not aware, but I do agree with Mr. Sowers when he said that it's not typical at all that we would see construction of an accessory nature like a barbecue not called out separately on a building permit as part of a production home for a builder. And that type of feature would normally only be part of like a model, a home that was serving as a model. They would have, all those types of accessories and accoutrements in order to market the homes, and the builder would pull those permits from the city and they would be reflected on separate permits or called out separately on the permit for the main structure, if in fact they kind of covered them by that original permit. Usually it's reflected on a separate permit, however. Okay. Is that your understanding too, Mr. Sowers?
Yes, and Mr. Chairman, I'd like to read something from the 1978 Plumbing Code. And basically what it states, it talks about an accessible shutoff valve of a type set forth in indicates the subsection, shall be installed in the fuel supply piping outside of each appliance and ahead of the union connection. In addition there to the valve at the on the appliance side as well. So they're calling out two, and this never really coincided with that. And then it also talks about the gas piping, and I did not see that as being apparent with respect to, the 76 Uniform Plumbing Code.
Okay, now, I'm sorry, I didn't catch who I talked over, sorry. Who was looking to ask a question?
Emmett Raitt.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for letting me go. Sorry if I talked over you.
That's okay. Mr. Sowers, were you working for the city in 1978?
No, sir.
So you have no idea what their standards were in 1978 from your personal knowledge?
No, I do not. Other than what I've seen on the,
okay.
For being here for 3.5 years and doing permit research and history here for 3.5 years.
And is it correct that the city does not maintain plans for four units going back this far?
That is correct.
Okay. And Mr. Brantley, you indicated that it would be unusual for this structure to exist unless it was a model. Do you know whether this was a model home?
Yes, Mr. Chair, to respond to Mr. Ray, as indicated by Mr. Sowers in his earlier comments, the permit does not reflect that this was a model, and it would have if it would have been a model. So it presumably is just a regular production unit.
Yeah. And that is true even in 1978?
I believe that is the case, but I wasn't doing this in 1978, so I can't attest to that.
I can just say this, that on the permit history that we've done on various tract homes around here, those condominiums, they do call out specifically model 1, 2, 3. And after going through an extensive remodel and going back through multiple tracks, as well as countless items in permit history, we've noticed that every track from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s indicated the models and what they planned on doing with the models.
All right, moving on. Does the board wish to entertain any additional testimony from the city staff or the appellant?
I have a question for Mr. James Sala.
Okay.
Yeah. If the owner doesn't want to use the system, barbecue or anything like that, mm-hmm. and they are willing to remove the electrical fixture, which is not working, and still city has any problem because they are not doing any repair or anything like that. And do you want them to remove whole barbecue area if they don't want to fix it? What city wants here?
First of all, the city has never had an issue with the structure itself. It's only been the gas line and the electrical line. If Mr. Manik Halam would like to disconnect the gas line and disconnect the electrical line and do it per code and properly, I have no issue.
Any other questions?
Well, I have one for the appellant, if I may.
Sure.
Shireen, listening to the information from both sides, it sounds to me like the source of power and the source of fuel, there is such a large unknown factor here. Why is it that you don't want to remove the existing gas line and the existing conduit containing the conductors back to the main service panel?
Well, yeah, I've told the city that I'm not going to connect any gas to this or anything. And I can. The thing is that Mr. Sowers, in his notice of violation, said that we have to open the slab, the concrete. We have to bring something to open the entire patio, break the concrete. He wants to open up the entire patio to look at the line that goes into the barbecue. And then he said, and also maybe the barbecue itself. So he wants to destroy the barbecue to look at the lines, make sure that they're fine. I mean, the whole thing sounded extremely malicious. If you read what he says in the in his notice of violation, that what he wants to do in order to issue a permit, and he never mentioned about the abandonment in his notice of violation. He didn't say that, well, if you want to abandon it, you can do it this way. He wants to open up. I mean, his intention is to inflict massive damage to this thing. And now he says that, okay, if you just cut it off at the surface of the patio, it's fine. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, what I said was you can sever it at the surface of the patio and at the same time go back to the barbecue structure itself And as long as it was done, you know, in a point that it can never be reconnected, we would be willing to work with the appellant on that. But I mean, to keep it, you would have to expose everything and do what you need to do. So in order to be working, you know, the bottom line is we want to get to a resolution of the abandonment or permitting of the gas line. So we're trying to find a resolution. That's why we're here at the appeals. And in order to do it correctly, we might have to tear it up. I am hopeful that we don't have to. I mean, I'm trying to work with, you know, with whatever we can in order to get a proper abandonment or a proper.
And Mr. Sowers has no evidence that there is any line going underground to the barbecue. There's nothing. It's just the structure. Actually, the only thing he has is just this pipe sticking out of the something in the garage. He has no evidence that that pipe is connected to the barbecue. It's all speculation. There's one line in the in the garage, and he's saying that it's probably going into the barbecue. He never tested it. He came here on March 3rd to do that, and he never tested it. He just looked at things. He just looked at the barbecue and this thing sticking out of the garage. He's saying that it's probably going into the barbecue. That's what he's saying.
Kareem, I have one last question, and I appreciate your time. I do, sir. So the fact that you may or may not have a gas line, and you may or may not have current running two conductors below grade, does not concern you at all?
Well, there's nothing. I mean, you can dig up the thing, the patio, to see if there is anything. You have to have evidence that there's something in there. I mean, you're saying that there might be a pipe there that's out of code inside the ground. Therefore, we have to dig it up to see if there is a pipe, and if there is, I mean, you can't do it. Then you have to go all over the place and dig up everybody's patio to see if there's anything there. You can't do that.
Thank you for your response.
All right, so I'm going to ask again. Does the board wish to entertain any additional testimony from the city staff or the appellant?
No.
Hearing none, I will now close the time for testimony. There will be no more testimony accepted unless requested by the board. We will now have an opportunity for public comment. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak on this item? Note there is a 3-minute time limit. Public comment.
I would like to speak. If I may.
We have some feedback from someone else. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute all right now, and then Ms. Kohler will allow you to speak afterwards.
I'm trying to mute it. I'm sorry. There we go. Can you hear? Hello.
Okay, Ms. Kohler, we can hear you, so go ahead.
Yes, please.
Hi, the only comment I wish to make is if Mr. Sharam's dissertation or explanation.
Ms. Kohler, this is Chairman Heinrich. Could you please identify who you are, please, because the board probably doesn't know.
Hi, I'm Deborah Kohler. I actually manage the Rancho Dominguez Townhomes Association.
Okay, thank you.
The relevance of the location of the barbecue is the sticking point for the association because it's built up against the garage wall and the wood fencing, and we will be addressing that with the homeowner. My comment on the gas line is, Mr. Magleheim, do you have a gas stove?
Chair Heinrich, I'm going to interrupt for a second.
Yeah.
Public comment should address the board, and they're
okay.
Welcome to address the board, but I don't think it's proper to require the questioning of the appellant.
Okay. Well, in my research, the gas lines that were run appropriately based on original homeowners who have owned, every patio was dirt. there are easements in the governing documents that talk about the gas lines. And if something is built over the gas lines, if it needs to be worked on, that homeowner acknowledges that they must make access for that easement. So from what I can understand and my limited knowledge is that the gas line that would run into the home for either the fireplace and or the heater would have gone underground and it would have been set by the builder. Every home was an electric stove and an electric oven. All other appliances would have been electric except for the heater and or the fireplace. That's the only thing I want to bring up.
All right, thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to address the board? Hearing none, I'll now close the public comment portion of the hearing. We will now discuss and deliberate. At the end of our deliberation or at any time during the deliberation, I will entertain a motion from the board on this matter. The motion could either deny the appeal and uphold the building official's decision, or it could be to modify or reverse the building official's decision. A determination to modify or reverse the building official's decision must be a vote of two-thirds of the board's membership. In other words, by at least four votes. Our determination should be by resolution. There is a draft resolution in the agenda packet, but we can modify that resolution as we see fit, including by voice vote, with the drafting of the resolution occurring after the meeting. So here's the part where the board members deliberate. If there is a motion, I will entertain one. Don't everybody go shy on me. I see Ron talking, but he's mute.
Oh, it's muted, yeah. I can enter a motion. I believe we should stay with what the building official's findings are and go along with what he wishes the homeowner to do.
I second that motion.
So we have a first and a second to adopt the resolution as part of the agenda packet. So I'd like to, at that point, Stephen, do we ask the Arlene to call for a vote?
Yes. So, Chair Heinrich, at this point, I mean, you are free to continue to discuss the motion that's on the table. But if and when you are finished your discussion, you would ask Arlene to call a roll call vote, and you will each vote individually.
Okay. So any board members have any additional conversation, deliberation that before we call for the vote? Hearing none, Arlene, please call for the vote.
Heinrich?
Yes.
Kowitsky?
Yes.
Cesar?
No.
Gulliver?
Yes.
McFarlane?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0 with Cesar voting no.
All right. Thank you very much. I will now turn to the second item to be heard. This is an appeal of case number CC-044026. This concerns a notice of violation dated May 5, 2021, provided to the appellants. I will ask the names be read in again because I'm still not good at this.
Anybody? Mr. Chair, perhaps you can ask the appellant to just identify himself so he has the proper.
That would be perfect.
Pronunciation.
Well, you're muted, sorry.
Sharam Manigalam.
Thank you so very much. And concerns in exterior electrical light features. In the record are the following documents. On April 5th, 2021, the city served a courtesy notice to the appellant. This was followed by a final notice of violation provided to the appellant on both April 20 and May 5th, 2021. On May 12, 2021, the appellant submitted a request for appeal. On June 3, 2021, the appellant was notified that a hearing would be scheduled to hear an appeal on June 14, 2021. At the appellant's request, the hearing was rescheduled for today. Also on June 3, 2021, the appellant was provided a copy of the procedures applicable to this hearing, as well as a copy of the city's written documentation submitted to the board. On June 21st, 2021, the appellant, through counsel, submitted a letter to the board. That letter was provided to the board and to the city staff. Neither the city nor the appellant have notified the board that they intend to call any witnesses. Accordingly, no witness testimony will be heard today. I will now invite the city staff to provide a presentation to the board. And again, there's a 15-minute time limit, please.
You're muted, Mr. Sowers.
Thank you. Thanks for the help, David.
Sure.
The second item on the agenda is a notice of violation regarding exterior lighting attached to a residence located at 21129 Via Cannon. On March 29th, 2021, the Building Division received an email, regarding two unpermitted light fixtures that were installed on the reference address. Subsequent research of permit history was completed, and no permits were found for newly attached exterior light fixtures. Thus, a notice of violation was sent to the owner on April 5th, 2021, with additional follow-up notices sent on April 20th, 2021, and May 5th, 2021 by code enforcement. The homeowner has requested an appeal of the notice of violations. The property owner appealed, claiming that the light fixture is exempt from the permit requirement under California Building Code Section 105.2, work exempt from permit, specifically under electrical, with a focus on replacement of lamps. Staff's findings are based on the following code definitions, codes, section references, and energy code ACE. 2019 California Building Code and 2019 California Residential Code, Section 105.1 and 105.2, Electrical Item 1, Repairs and Maintenance. Minor repair work, including the replacement of lamps or the connection of approved portable electrical equipment to an approved permanently installed receptacles. 2019 California Energy Code defines lamp as following. An electrical appliance that produces an optical radiation for the purposes of visual illumination, designed with a base to provide an electrical connection between the lamp and a luminaire, and is designed to be installed into a luminaire. A lamp is not a luminaire and is not an LED retrofit kit. 2019 Energy Code defines a luminaire as a complete lighting unit consisting of a light source, such as a lamp or lamps, together with the parts that distribute light, position to protect the light source, and connect to a power supply. Energy Code ACE is a program funded by Pacific Gas and Electric, San Diego Gas and Electric, Southern California Edison, and Southern California Gas Company, and is vetted by the California Energy Commission. California Code ACE has released a publication online that clearly defines, that clarifies these definitions by further elaborating that a lamp is a light bulb or similar separable lighting component. Other findings were 2019 California Electrical Code, California Article 89, California Code Provisions, Section 89.108, 4.1 permits in Section 89.108, 4.4 inspections. 2019 California Energy Code, Section 100.1 definitions, alteration, lamp, and luminaire. Section 150.2B, alterations, J, lighting. Section 150K, residential lighting. Item 3, residential outdoor lighting. And Table 150.0-A, classification of high efficacy light sources. Yorba Linda, Ordinance Number 2019-1065, Article 9.5.7, permit. Article 9.5.10, compliance. Article 9.5.11, inspection. Photos A and B in the staff report reference the light fixtures in question. I am available for questions.
All right, thank you. Does any board member have questions for the city staff?
No.
No, I do not.
No.
Well, then I guess I do. So do we know what this replaced?
I do not know. I'm assuming a regular old, a regular light fixture.
Okay. Well, maybe I can ask that when the appellant gives their presentation. All right. Thank you. Does the appellant have any questions for the city staff? And please note there's a 5-minute limit on questions. Questions must be related to the compliance issue and related code sections. And I may stop you if those guidelines are not followed. Thank you. Any questions from the appellant?
This is Emmett Raitt representing the appellant. Do you know whether a light fixture was there before this current light fixture was installed?
I do not.
Okay. Did you see any evidence that new electrical wiring had been placed through the walls of the exterior to the patio?
No.
If this is in fact just the replacement of one light fixture by another light fixture, does that require a building permit?
Yes. And it has to conform to the California Energy Code as well.
And which provision requires that the replacement of one light fixture for another light fixture requires a building permit?
That falls back under the California Building Code. It goes back under Section 105.2, the electrical item, where it specifically exempts lamps, which this is not a lamp. This is actually a fixture and or a luminaire. So at that point, since the exemption does only applies to a lamp, which is a light bulb, as defined by Energy Code ACE, as well as in the Energy Code, when you start changing out light fixtures, that's the whole fixture itself, that's when it requires a building permit. At the same time, on an exterior, we want to make sure that obviously it's watertight and make sure it complies with the motion sensor, whatever the case may be that he's decided to put in.
And let me quickly add to that. I think Jim was referencing 105.1 as the permit requirement.
105.2
is just the exemption when you're not required to get a permit. And 105.1 actually specifically calls out, along with plumbing and gas, it does call out on, you know, any improvement to electrical. So the appellant has actually raised an exception to that rule in 105.2, but that only refers to the replacement of lamps. And that's why there was an explanation of what a lamp is in contrast to a luminaire, being a light bulb, which is a lamp, versus a luminaire, which is the actual fixture, which is what was replaced here.
Okay. So just to clarify, he's not accused of violating the exemption provision 105.2, which is part of the charge against him.
No, he's the one who's relied on 105.2 to claim that he was not required to get a permit. The reference in the notice of violation was to 105.1, which is the permit requirement.
And 105.2.
Maybe
it's at the bottom of page one of the June 14, 2001 Building Board of Appeals staff report.
Again, that just references all relevant code sections, but the notice of violation referred to 105.1. That's the violation, not getting a permit.
Okay. So I guess I have another question. I should have asked it with my previous one. So I assume that we don't have two options with this one like we did with the last one. You can't just remove it and leave stuff hanging there. So what is the city's desired resolution?
Obtain the building permit, have it inspected and put in a proper light fixture. And I'm assuming, I don't know if it's a proper light fixture, so obviously we haven't done the inspection.
Okay, and did you do any estimate like you did on the last one of what?
I did. It would be $170.50. However, if we were to put in the gas line, the electrical outlet, as well as the two light fixtures, it still totals to $301.50 for everything.
Okay, thank you. So now I'm going to invite the appellant to provide a presentation to the board. Again, this is a 15-minute time limit. Do we have a presentation from the appellate?
I'm just looking through my notes, Your Honor.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I'm looking at the April 5, 2021 citation, the courtesy notice. Is this directed to the fixture or to the light that was replaced, to the floodlight? It appears, well, it's confusing. The April 20, 2021 final notice states required actions to correct the violation. Please obtain all required building permits for the newly installed exterior floodlights. It does not say fixture. It does not indicate that there's a problem with the fixture. Is the position taken by the city currently that when it said floodlights, it meant fixture? That's just a question that I have. And isn't there an exception in the code for what is deemed minor repair work? I can understand how the city would have a problem if this requires new wiring and a new intrusion into the exterior of the property with new wires and all of that wonderful stuff. But if someone just goes down to Home Depot and buys a replacement exterior light to replace a light that is already there, has already been there and has already been permitted, and that is apparently identical to the structure that is in the home of his next door neighbor, wouldn't that just be minor repair work?
No. Sounds nice, but unfortunately it isn't anymore. The energy code requires it to be controlled either by a photocell or a motion sensor or an automatic time switch or controlled by an astronomical time clock control for energy requirements. So at that point, it has to be a fixture that's going to be approved by the California Energy Commission as well as falls in line with the California Energy Code.
So if the structure is just powered by a switch, that's illegal?
I don't know if you'd say illegal, but it's not per code. In other words, you can't just turn them off and turn them on. If that's what you have currently and you haven't replaced them, obviously that's legal, non-conforming, it's fine. But if you change them out, then you need to comply with the new requirements and obtain a permit. At the same time, we want to make sure that they're watertight fixtures and that that they're installed correctly.
Sure. And did the city see anything to indicate that this exterior light is not just operated by a switch?
No.
So as far as the city knows, it's operated by a switch?
it could be operated by a switch. And if it's operated by a switch and it's a new fixture, then obviously it would not meet the requirements of the California Energy Code. Because it either has to be done by a photocell or it has to be operated by a motion sensor, an automatic time switch control, or by an astronomical time clock control. You can't override it to stay in the on position at all times. So in other words, during daylight, it's, you know, it probably wouldn't work.
Okay.
Unless it had a motion sensor that picked it up, I guess.
So,
and then it turned
off. A home built in 1978, before there were lights, sensors,
mm-hmm.
things like that, which still operate their exterior lights by a switch, all of those homes are in violation of the electrical.
I didn't say that. I said if
those, I said that.
I'm just asking
a question.
So in other words, if I had a home that was built in 1978 and I had the original fixtures and there's nothing wrong with them, I'm more than welcome to continue to use them and change out the bulbs. Obviously, I couldn't change out an incandescent bulb now. I'd probably change it to an LED. But if I took that fixture off and said, you know what, I'm going to put something different in and put something new in, at that point, I need to go to the city, county, wherever my jurisdiction is, obtain the proper permit, and go through the inspection process.
All right. And did you check to see whether the current light fixture that has been installed can be is operated by a motion sensor?
No, I did not, because I did not go on the appellant's property, and I won't go on his property.
Okay. And if it was operated by a motion sensor, would there be a problem with the installation, with the replacement?
Most likely not. As long as it's UL approved, it falls under the guidelines of the 2019 California Energy Code, and it's watertight, I don't see an issue with it.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I saw a picture of the light fixture. Can we see it, Mr. Sell?
Yeah, it's on page 4.
The staff report. Can I show it to everyone?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I've got the photograph, photo A, on my screen. I can share my screen with the group if that's the pleasure of the board.
Yes, please.
That sounds good.
Can you see that?
Yes. So is there something you wanted to point out, Nazreen?
Yes, I was wondering, is this solar or is this, what's that black spot underneath? Is this sensor?
I don't know.
Because I've seen similar to that, and looks like that's the size you put in on top of the garage, and when you move, it's activated. So maybe the question is for Mr. Sharon. Is this already has a sensor or not?
It has a motion sensor, but that can be disabled or enabled by software. So it's fully flexible and is programmed. It can be programmed to, you can turn off the sensor, turn it on. I mean, it's fully flexible and it's portable. You can take it out and put it somewhere else. And it's pretty easy to install. It takes 5 minutes to install it. I mean.
I have a question on that. Is it just attached to the wall? There's no electrical light source from the home that attaches to it? It's just solar paneled and there's no electrical connection at all from the switch won't operate it or anything like that. It's just stuck to the wall.
No, it's not. It's not solar panel. It's connected to the three wires to the receptacle at the wall.
So there's the junction connector. And the wire nuts go in. And you put the screws in, and go from there.
Yeah, it's just a connector. You connect it, mm-hmm. the connector, and you can snap it out, snap back in. Mm-hmm. It's easy.
Yeah.
Is this high efficacy and it has a UL number? Where did it
go? Oh, yes. It has all the, UL number and all the certificates and everything. You can buy it from Home Depot or Costco. It's full of them. Everybody installs it, and I think I'm the only one who has to get a permit for it. I mean, Mr. Sowers has probably never issued any permit for anyone else.
Can you present all those UL numbers and everything to Mr. Sauer and show what's the specification? Maybe he accepts it.
Yes, I can. Absolutely, yes. It's if it wasn't approved, it wouldn't be sold in stores. You can buy it from any store.
No, you can buy things. It's not approved, but you have to show it.
Well, it's UL approved. Yes, it has all the certificates. It's FCC, it has FCC certification, everything.
Okay, I believe we're still in the presentation from the appellate. I believe
you're on mute, Mr. Ray.
This is the joys.
Sorry, I'm muted.
The joys of virtual meetings.
It's one of the vagaries of Zoom meetings. One of the things they don't teach you in Zoom school is that if you have a desktop camera you put a coffee cup in front of your camera, it really impacts people's ability to see you. No, you don't teach you that either.
I just want to know where you got to go to Zoom school. Nobody's
Anyway, be a temporary judge with the Superior Court. The Zoom settlement conferences all the time. Mm-hmm. But I digress. But in 105.2 under electrical, point one says repairs and maintenance. Minor repair work, including replacement of lamps or the connection of approved portable electrical equipment to approved permanently installed receptacles, is exempt from getting a permit. And that's exactly what this is. And I am wondering why, what there is about this particular installation that does not make it exempt as minor repair work. If all it is the replacement of fixture A with fixture B, and fixture B is portable, as Meningalem has testified it is.
For one, I don't think this is a light fixture is considered portable just because you're able to install it or uninstall it. That would be applicable to any fixture at all. Obviously, they're installed and uninstalled. This is obviously not a repair, it's a replacement. Repair would be of an existing fixture or appliance. This is a replacement, and as Mr. Sowers explained, the permit requirement is in place so that there is an inspection to make sure that the reconnection is done correctly, that it's airtight and so forth. So it's not exposed to the elements. This is clearly not a minor repair or maintenance. It's a replacement. And that provision specifically calls out what is exempt by way of example, and that is a lamp and not a luminaire. And there's definitions in the code to distinguish the two. One is a light bulb, which is a lamp, which you can replace without a permit under 105.2. The luminaire, which is defined as the fixture itself, is not exempt. And therefore, by virtue of the fact that it was not specifically referenced where it could have, they referenced a lamp and not a luminaire, it is clear that the replacement of a luminaire does require a permit.
Well, like most things in the law, I think things are not always as clear as we would like them to be. If maintenance of a unit could also include replacement. There's nothing in the in the statute that says it does not include replacement. This is basically going to Home Depot getting a replacement unit and connecting it. It's hard to see why the city would want to be burdened with permit requirements for something as minor as this. If there were intrusions into the wall, if he was putting in a new light where one had not existed before, that would certainly be understandable. But I have not, you know, searched for the definition of luminaire, since I don't know how to spell it, among other problems. But
I will point out that in the same regulations, 105.1, as it's found in the residential code, which is nearly identical to 105 in the California Building Code, both being applicable, where the the board wanted to, that adopted these regulations, wanted to use replacement, they did. And in 105 point, in section 105 permits, section 105.2 of the replacement of the residential code, which is identical, requiring a permit for electrical work, you will see the word replacement as opposed to the word reuse, which indicates that they know the difference between a replacement or a repair, and they use the appropriate word where they deem fit.
Chair Heinrich, if I might, this is the portion of the hearing where the appellant, you've invited that appellant to make a presentation. I don't mean to stifle the questions by the board or by city staff, but I do just want to make sure that the appellant has an opportunity to make a presentation and then complete that presentation, and that it acknowledges that opportunity, because we seem to be a little bit just free-flowing here, and I just don't want to deny the appellant its opportunity for a presentation.
Sure. Thank you.
Our position is outlined pretty thoroughly in the appeal filed by Mr. Manningalam, in which I think he did a better job than most attorneys that I know, that this seems to qualify as an exemption under 105.2 for minor repair work. There's just not that much involved in this process, and I think that the vast majority of the citizens of Yorba Linda who are called upon to, who want to replace an exterior light fixture, are not going to think they have to go and get a building permit. It just doesn't make, no offense, any sense to get a building permit for something as minor as unscrewing a fixture and screwing a replacement fixture in. If that does require a building permit and the failure to do so results in the possibility of violations and fines, I think you probably have a lot of people in the city who are subject unknowingly to violations and fines. Because I would submit that for anyone who's walked down a Home Depot aisle in the lighting section, people are doing this all the time without giving it a second thought or having any idea that it requires, that something as minor as this requires a building permit.
Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much. Do any of the board members have questions for the appellant?
I do. This is his response dated June 8, 2021.
subject requests for amending the present appeal timeline to 14, 2021, invoking the procedures of 2019 California Building Code Section AB101.1. First of all, I want to commend you for researching the building code. That in itself is quite an accomplishment. You go into detail about how the light in question is installed. Took less than 5 minutes to connect the connectors to the snap and snap unit into the wall backplate. 5 minute work is definitely a minor repair work. Therefore, even the city notices were regarding the entire unit pursuant to section A105.2. Floodlight unit does not need a permit. Okay. So the question I have for you is these, Mr. Aminagalam, did you do the repair work yourself?
Oh, yes.
And could you describe how you replaced that to me, please? You took off the original fixture that was there and what was beneath it?
Beneath it is a bracket that holds the receptacle. I put the new receptacle in there and screw it. And then I put the back plate there, and then you snap the and you connect three wires with the connector, and you snap the floodlight into the back plate. That's it.
Regarding the connector, sir, how were the existing connectors inside the stud bay? You have a stucco finish on the wall, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so behind the stucco.
I just replaced the old one with the new one, so everything is there.
Okay, so inside the hole,
yeah,
of the exterior wall, the stucco, between the stud bays, you have conductors, wires. How did you attach those wires, the existing wires inside the wall, to the new wires of your new fixture? How did you combine those wires?
The three wires, and then they go to corresponding three wires on the floodlight.
And how did you connect those wires, the existing wires and the new wires? How did you connect those together? What devices did you use? Bubble gum? You welded them? How did you connect the existing wires with the new wires?
With the wire wrap connector.
Would that be a cone-shaped cap that you stuck the wires into and twisted it onto? Is that what we're talking about here?
Yes.
So yes. We use cap screws. So your existing wires inside the stud bays were connected to the new wires of the fixture. You bonded the wires together by slipping a cone-shaped cap over them and twisted it together.
Three of them, yes.
Correct? Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Well, you're really getting into it there, Jack. So any other board members have questions? Nobody? Okay. So thank you. Does the city have any questions for the appellate? And please note that there is a five-minute time limit on questions. Questions must be related to the compliance issue and related code sections. I may ask you to stop if those guidelines are not followed.
I have one thing to say, but it's more of a statement. I'd like to ask Mr. Miller if I can make a quick statement.
You don't need to ask me. You need to ask the chair. It's at his discretion.
Then I will allow it.
Okay. The only statement I want to make is Mr. Manik Halam indicated that we do not issue permits for exterior lights, as well as his attorney. We do issue permits for exterior lighting. We get a lot of rehab permits that come in, and we also have plans that come in that show complete light fixture done throughout the entire home, which in turn are provided with the LTG forms. They go through the plan check process. If it's just a simple light fixtures that are going on the exterior of a home, we'll normally attempt to do those over the counter, provide the correct fixtures, as well as the information to help the inspector along. A lot of them, you're absolutely correct. We don't see everything that happens, but the inspectors drive by and somebody is replacing the light fixtures on the exterior of a home and they physically see them doing it, or they notice that they're new, they will issue a stop work notice. And we do issue stop work notices periodically for those items. And that's what I wanted to say.
All right. Thank you for that. Does the board wish to entertain any additional testimony from the city staff or the appellate? Board members?
Maybe one question. And I don't know who I would address it to, regarding precedence. There's an HOA, obviously, for the association where the property is located. Sometimes the HOA has issues with the type of lighting. I'm just wondering if there are any other issues other than the physical connection that we're looking for a permit for. We're not spilling over light into other people's property. We're not concerned about any other violations. It's essentially a permit to connect this new device to the existing conductors.
That's what the permit is for. And I don't know if Mr. Brantley wants to comment. I don't know what the black lens is on the bottom there. I don't know if it's a photo cell. I have no idea, but I'm going to let Mr. Brantley comment on it.
Yes, I would like to, Mr. Chair. So the zoning regulations for the city also govern outdoor lighting, and there are performance standards for outdoor lighting. And absolutely, there are sort of requirements for containing light within the boundaries of your own property, as well as ensuring that the actual lighting source itself, the light bulb, is downward directed and shielded from adjoining property so that you don't see the hot spot from a neighboring property and or from, you know, public rights of way, etc. So in this case, if you recall the photo that I showed before, there does appear to be some visibility of the actual bulb, the light source itself, and there is glare potential associated with that. So, you know, the city did not include that reference in our violation notice because the permit requirement was really superior to that. The normal course of action would have involved the homeowner responding to the notice of violation to come in and get a permit. And as part of that process, it would be reviewed and approved by the planning division. The planning division at that time would put certain conditions on the approval that it comply with those zoning provisions that I mentioned a moment ago regarding downward directed fixtures that don't reveal the light source from offsite and eliminate glare potential and do not cause light bleed onto adjoining properties. So that would be the zoning side of things, but it wouldn't become relevant until they come in to obtain a permit unless we received a complaint about you know, an already permitted light or something of that nature that did not meet those criteria.
Okay. You know, sometimes in the case of new technologies, you know, we have, for example, security lights, floodlights, sometimes these devices get out ahead of the codes, and that's why we have adoptions, ordinances, you know, fluid standards that can be, you know, adopted to meet these kinds of circumstances. I don't believe there would be an issue with that particular device, you know, meeting the California Electric Code or a building energy standard. It looks like a typical off-the-shelf type of an item. So it appears that, you know, maybe And I've got them on my house. I know people install these things. Homeowners install these devices. And it sounds like it might be a case of somebody being having it been noticed that somebody changed this device. Obviously, we know that the homeowner was the one that did upgrade the device. And that's why my question regarding a precedent in the area, the city stated that they're requesting permits for this kind of device. And I believe they are the ones that would be responsible for issuing those permits and establishing the criteria in this particular case for that type of a fixture. I believe that's correct, and that's your position as well, I believe. Am I correct, Jim?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's not only us, it's the building code as well as the energy code. I mean, it's a very simple permitting process. It's a relatively inexpensive permit, and we do have people doing it quite often. Or they're doing a complete rehab on their homes, and we include the lighting fixtures into the permit at that point in time as well.
May I ask a question to Mr. Sowers?
Yes.
If Mr. Heinrich, is that acceptable?
Yes.
Do you have people coming in only seeking a permit to replace a exterior light fixture with another exterior light fixture and nothing else?
We have had two people come in and do that. A lot of them are exterior light fixtures, not only on the home, but some of them actually have exterior light fixtures that are attached to block walls and things, and they want to replace them for something different. And at that point in time, we go through the permitting process as well.
All right.
Okay. Does the board have any desire to entertain any additional testimony from either the appellant or the city staff?
Yes. Not I.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Nazreen.
First of all, as per California code, just a licensed electrician, they can replace it. So doing it by homeowner, it may cause problem, as one of my colleagues asking, how did you install it? And that's the concern I think city has. And maybe regularly we don't check for one light or two lights, but when you have complaint, then we go and check everything to see if it's per code or not. In this case, they got notice for Mr. Sharon, but my question is for appellant. If you got notice, what did you do to make satisfied city officials? And why you are resisting? This is in everyone's benefit. If something installed wrong, then later it's going to cause fire, and your house and all neighborhood goes, you know, in fire. So if there's a concern and that you got noticed, why you didn't just follow the rules?
Is that directed to Mr. Manning alone?
Yes.
Okay. First, he is an electrical engineer. So with that.
Certified, by California or just, no. You have to be licensed to do that. That's the rule.
Mr. Manning alum, are you a licensed electrical engineer?
Well, I have a master's in electrical engineering from California State University. And I don't know what else you need.
I have add to that, even licensed electricians are still required to pull a permit for electrical work. I congratulate you on your education. I know that wasn't a cheap one.
Yeah.
But yes,
but that's a very minor work.
I mean, right.
You don't have to be even an engineer to connect three wires. Just three wires.
Right.
the moment that you broke the surface of the exterior wall and you went into the wall cavity, that became an entirely different matter.
I'm not, didn't be inside the wall, but the wires were out.
Yeah. Once you attach to the conductors that are attached back to the main service panel, that's not simply plugging into a receptacle. Okay. That's far more.
But the receptacle was there already.
But you didn't talk about or describe a receptacle earlier. Are you talking about a junction box? Is that what you went in to attach your, it sounded like you were talking about a junction box and not a receptacle.
No, no, it is a, the definition of receptacle is very broad. I have it. It is a receptacle with three wires.
That's
not
a receptacle.
Inside the wall.
That's not a receptacle.
I have a definition of a receptacle if you want me to read it.
I have it right here.
Okay.
This is a 2019 California Electrical Code. This is an electrician's Bible.
Yeah.
Everything has to be done per this code. And the work that you described to me earlier is does not fall under this definition. Were you mistaken in the description you were giving me earlier?
No, the wires are out of the receptacle. You just connect them, three wires. It's very simple. It takes only 5 minutes. You don't go inside the wall. The backplate is already there.
Just so that I'm correct here, the description that you gave me earlier was accurate description, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Any other additional testimony from the city staff or appellant that the board would like to hear? I'm not hearing any. I will now close the time for testimony. There will be no more testimony accepted unless requested by the board. We will now have an opportunity for public comment. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak on this item? Please note you will have 3 minute time limit on public comment. I don't hear any, so I will close the public comment portion of the hearing. We will now discuss and deliberate. At the end of the deliberation or at any time during the deliberation, I will entertain a motion on this matter. The motion could be to either deny the appeal and uphold the building official's decision, or it could be to modify or reverse the building official's decision. A determination to modify or reverse the building official's decision must be by a two-thirds vote of the board's membership. In other words, at least four votes. Our determination our determination should be by resolution. There is a draft resolution. I keep saying anyway, there's a draft resolution in the agenda packet, but we can modify that resolution as we see fit, including by voice vote, with the drafting of a resolution occurring after the meeting. So is there deliberation, or I will entertain a motion?
Motion to deny the appeal, just in part to, well, in total part due to the type of repair that was done.
Do I hear a second?
Second the motion.
Any further deliberation? All right, I would like to call Arlene for the vote.
Vote, please.
Yes.
Kowitsky?
Yes.
Cesar?
Yes.
Gulliver?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
So thank you. Having voted on both matters before us, I will now close this hearing. So Stephen, is there anything that we need to do after that?
Well, we're back on the agenda. So there's an item on the agenda for correspondence received. I don't know if there is any, and then adjournment.
I don't remember any correspondence received.
Mr. Chair, the only correspondence received was already forwarded to the board. It amounted to the additional correspondence from the appellant's attorney, which we discussed throughout the hearing from time to time today, dated June 21st, 2021, from the Rate Law Firm. And the normal packet that was delivered from staff, certainly, which went out to you as well. Other than that, no further correspondence was received.
All right, thank you. So next agenda item is adjournment. So do we need to vote on adjournment?
You do not, although you are welcome to if you would enjoy that.
Yeah, boy, we'd enjoy voting for adjournment. Everybody in favor of adjournment. Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, and all, I would just like to thank you and the board, as well as all of the parties to this matter, for conducting yourselves in a very professional manner and for adjudicating this in a fair, straightforward manner. And hopefully we can all work together to resolve the issues with the appellant in a, you know, efficient and thoughtful manner. And I appreciate everyone taking the time today to help work through this.
I would say the same thing, and it would be my hope that the two parties would work this out and get this behind them, and maybe we'll meet on the street someday and all smile at each other.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.